What's up, everyone, and welcome to Metalcore Nerds. I'm your host, Sean Mott.
And I am your guest slash co-host slash the Cupcake of Mischief, Joel Cupcake.
He's here, the man of 1,004 jobs, Joel Cupcake.
I still love that, Sean. I don't think enough people actually appreciate that I put that in my bio, but you know what? The GOAT, Chris Jericho, appreciated it, so...
True. What else matters other than that?
Nothing. Brother, in a 1 year time span, I've had both The Rock and Chris Jericho like my tweets. Like, ooh. I should be getting my WWE contract any day so I can light it on fire and throw it in the garbage where it belongs.
That's fair.
I would love to manage a wrestler. I think I'd be so entertaining in that role.
You'd be good. You'd be good. I'm actually, I know you've heard me talk about this movie Trivia Schmodown. They just made almost like an NXT to their league called the FCL.
Oh yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about auditioning. It'd be so wild if eventually I brought you in and you were like my mouthpiece manager. Even though you know I can cut a pretty decent promo.
You can. You've done it to me. Do you remember that one day I hadn't slept for like 2 or 3 days because I did some stuff I'm not going to mention on the air, and. I was up for like 2 days and we cut those promos on each other. Remember when I was all drunk at Barry at Death Fest?
I do. You could be the Paul Heyman to my CM Punk.
Oh, dude. Don't get me started. I'll even do the receding hairline and everything, dude.
Oh, my. Okay. We don't need to go that far.
Anyways, everybody, what's up? Welcome to another live episode of Metalcore Nerds with your guest, me, and your host, Sean Mott. And today, we're talking about Loki episode 2. But before we talk about Loki episode 2,
yes, before we gotta do some house cleaning, before that. I don't know. I messed up the term.
I want to tell them what I thought about episode 2. Spoiler free though.
Before we get to that, I just want to bring up a few things. If you're watching live, thank you. Sick, cool. I've been trying to do this live Twitch thing. It's been awesome. But if you're watching or listening on replay, that is also just as important. If you are listening to this on podcast or YouTube, screenshot that motherfucker. Share it in your Instagram stories. Tag Metalcore Nerds. That's how people learn about this stuff. Share it on Facebook. That would be awesome. And if you do listen to it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you follow on those respected platforms. If you watch on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. That shit all helps. It helps the podcast grow, which is the big goal here, right?
Yeah, and Sean is literally like the second prettiest man I know, so make sure you go give him 5-star reviews when you watch or when you listen. Sorry, when you listen on, whatever your preferred, podcast medium is.
You could watch it. It would be really boring to just watch the the Apple Podcast or Spotify app, but you could.
You and I are pretty entertaining to watch, though. Like, they should just go to your YouTube or your Twitch and watch us live.
That's fair. Yeah, I do that. No one really watches the YouTube. Not no one, but far less people than...
Listen, YouTube is like the hardest one to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. So we're actually going to talk some Black Widow first impressions because those dropped today. But Joel, let's do that first, Joel, and then we'll give you a non-spoiler, and then we'll go into it. All right? Does that sound good?
Dude. Is that okay with you? I don't think my heart can handle talking about Black Widow right now, Sean. Like, I don't think like emotionally, like, or as a scorned lover, prepared to talk. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh, actually, I do have one more announcement.
We do?
Yeah. So, June 30th at 8 p.m. Our Metalcore Nerds MCU Trivia Night is back. I have 4 new competitors, and this is how it's going to go. I kind of made this up as I was going along. Wanted to see how the first one went. It went pretty well. People seem to enjoy it, so going to keep this rolling. And basically, I'm going to be doing 4 kind of qualifying events. So this will be the second out of 4. And the people who win automatically are going to be entered in this. And there's going to be a tournament to crown the MCU Trivia Night champion. All right. So Tyler Small, he won the last one. He's already in. But here's where it gets interesting. If you play a really good game and lose by a short margin, which none of the games have really been, they've kind of been pretty lopsided for the most part. But if Our good friend Rob, he's 1-1. He won his first one and lost his second one. So he could very well be in this tournament. So
he's my vote for king because he's my king.
I mean, Tyler's the man, dude. I'm waiting to see if this next batch of people has anyone that can stand up to him, to be honest.
Yeah, but like if I had to choose between like Tyler and Rob to show up in like a chariot and whisk me away to a happy eternal life, like Tyler, I love you, bro, but I'm choosing Rob. Like
that's fair. That's fair. But mostly just June 30th, 8 p.m. live here on Twitch. We're going to be doing another MCU trivia night, which I'm very excited about. I love doing the first one and people seem to dig it. So I'm going to keep going and we'll see who ends up being the top dog at the end of this.
They dug it. Did you ask them? Can you dig it, sucker? Did you ask them that first?
No, but dude, actually going back to the FCL thing, the guy who is the commissioner does a show with Booker T.
With Booker? Oh, dude, yeah, you need to get in. Yeah. You need to get in over there, dude. Booker T, five-time champ. Booker T.
Five-time.
Literally the greatest outside segment to ever happen outside of a wrestling ring features Booker T.
The grocery store?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good shit. Like, you can literally, that's the only thing you can watch. Like, you can be stoned, you can be sober, you can be fucking high on something else, you can be drunk. Like, if you don't find joy or humor in that video, you are just a giant turd nugget. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Even if you're like wrestling is stupid and you don't find that funny, that just means you don't support Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if you don't support Stone Cold Steve Austin, I'm not even going to finish the sentence. That's all. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I'm gonna go through a slew of Black Widow first reactions, and then Joel and I will talk about them for a little bit, and then we'll get into Loki. It's, you know, I know this is a Loki after show per se. It's kind of how I label it, but this is big MCU news. It's the first MCU movie back in theaters. I'm very excited to see it, and these first reactions made me even more excited. So, let me get to some of these. Some of these people, I don't know who they are, but I know they're all, you know, kind of. So this is a editor at IndieWire, Kate Erbland, said, Black Widow, actually bruising, fighting, and chase sequences, a gopher broke Florence Pugh performance. Does she turn into any other kind? Nope. And first half that's intimate and talky and kind of funny in a new way for the MCU. Yes, I enjoyed this. And I will say the biggest overlying over this is that it's emotional, it's funny, and that Florence Pugh is a standout. That's the common thread through pretty much all of these.
That's great.
Which I'm all about.
I've seen her in some other things, so I'm not surprised that Florence is a standout.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I thought she was great in
Fighting With My Family, you know, the movie about...
Oh, yeah, she was awesome in that. Yeah,
and that was my first exposure to her, and I've seen some of the other things she's done since then. And she's an entertaining lady. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, she's a very good actor.
I'm gonna eat some Wheat Thins while you talk. So if the crunch is too loud, let me know, and I'll mute myself.
Jesus Christ! Cool. This is an ASMR video now. Tight. Eric Davis from Fandango said, "Marvel movies are back." Black Widow is a tense, action-packed spy thriller that truly completes Natasha's story in a visceral and emotional way. Florence Pugh crushes it and is an instant MCU icon. This is like MCU's Bond movie with shades of Mission Impossible and Thelma and Louise. Dude, I mean...
Yo, let me tell you something about me. If the viewers don't know this, I love a cheesy action movie. And I love non-cheesy action movies that are good. So the fact that he compared it to Mission Impossible, I love all six of them.
Isn't there like eight? I'm pretty sure there's at least seven.
I think there's six Mission Impossibles and nine Fast and the Furiouses, if I remember correctly.
I think there's seven. And I've never seen a Mission Impossible, and I think there's seven. But I watch movie trivia stuff, and they talk about that.
Listen, it doesn't matter how many there they are. That analogy has me fucking jazzed, Sean Mott. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Mike Ryan from UpRock says, Black Widow feels like a phase one Marvel movie in that it's the most standalone story in quite a while. That whole an MCU entry like you've never seen trend, yeah, that's not like this. Florence Pugh rules. Kind of a down the middle review, but not negative.
Well, I think for people like you and me, and I know a lot of listeners to the show, all think that Civil War is one of the best movies, and it's also when there was kind of like the turning point where like, sorry, that's what I meant. Winter Soldier, yeah, Winter Soldier. You know, it's the turning point. It's a little bit more adult. It's more darker. It's also more like primary action heavy, not like superhero action heavy. So I think we resonate with it a little more. So like, it keeps being compared to a spy flick. Like, I'm here for it, dude. I'm here for it.
Yeah, Brandon Davis from comicbook.com said Black Widow is one of Marvel's best solo films. That's very high praise. Start to finish, the movie is great. Excellent surprises, emotional character moments, badass action, and Scarlett Johansson finally gets to pour everything into the role. Director Kate Shortland nailed it. Bravo. Also, I did see another tweet saying that Marvel fans will erupt with excitement at the end credit scene. So, who knows what could be, because those end credit scenes have been so surprising. And, you know, I don't know.
Sean, we know what it is, dude. We know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
It's going to be the suit of armor with holographic Tony Stark, dude. They're going to bring him back in like the way that'll piss off the fans the most, dude.
No. If one thing that MCU does is not piss people off, for the most part. I mean, they piss some people off because everyone hates everything, but
because of all those poo heads, yeah.
Yeah, poo heads. I like that. Perry Nemiroff from Collider said, Doug Black Widow, a good deal. Was kind of worried about watching the story unfold, knowing what's to come in Endgame, that it might diminish the stakes. But this wasn't the case. In fact, this is kind of prequel story that feels bound to enhance other installments of the MCU.
That's cool. That is perfect. That's what I want to hear.
And that's why that's.
And I love the acknowledge. I love that someone giving a review that's actually an acknowledgement of Endgame too. Like it's not just I just generically am reviewing this Marvel movie. Like he knows the structure of what's going on.
This one's from Courtney Howard. She's just a film critic. Black Widow's excellent. An exhilarating shot of adrenaline. Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh nailed the banter and ballet like stunts. David Harbour is absolutely terrific. Big action set pieces are thrilling, propulsive, and capably constructed. Multi-layered thematic resonance. Black Widow director Kate Shortland balances sentimentality, situational severity, and seriousness, folding those emotionally touchstones into camera choreography and character drive. Twists and turns are clever. Lauren Bolf's score carries a haunting sense of gravitas.
Oh, very wordy. Jesus.
Dan Casey from Nerdist says Black Widow is far from my favorite MCU entry, but there's still plenty to like for diehard fans. Florence Pugh steals the show as Yelena Belova. Putting Natasha Romanoff in the spotlight was long overdue, so I'm glad it finally happened. Steve Weintraub, also from Collider. Kate Shortland had a difficult job trying to fill in Natasha Romanoff's backstory, but she nailed it in Black Widow. While the entire cast was great, Florence Pugh and David Harbour hit home runs with their performances. No way audience don't want more out of both characters. Pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I would assume we're getting more of at least Florence, maybe not David Harbour, but...
Yeah, she's already confirmed for the Hawkeye series, so we're definitely getting more of it.
Yeah, and we'll probably see her in Ant-Man as well.
Definitely possible.
Well, I'm assuming because aren't they setting up Young Avengers based off of Ant-Man? I mean, that seems to be the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen in that movie, but let's see what else we got here. I mean, they're all kind of the same. You know, a lot of Florence Pugh, awesome action, emotional, which is cool. I mean, I'm on a streak with Marvel properties since Endgame. They've all made me cry. So we'll see if Loki and Black Widow follow suit, which I'm guessing, I mean, both episodes of Loki have had emotional moments in it, not yet to make me cry, but I can see more coming. That's for sure.
Bro, I'm going to cry the moment Black Widow starts because she's already fucking dead, dude. What are you talking about?
Oh, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, am I wrong?
No. There's an awesome one that says, mix the Jason Bourne movies, FX's The Americans, and MCU lore, and you get Black Widow.
Wow, I love that.
Or what I would like to call from now on, the moment Florence Pugh took over the world. Definitely stick around for the post-credits.
Damn, dude. I'm glad she's getting so much praise. That's tight because she has goddamn big shoes to fill. You know?
It's very true. It's very, Very true. But that's awesome. I saw one tweet saying that stuff was split down the middle, but at least from the people I follow that are in the space, none of them have been negative. So I don't know. But I also, I'm not like in deep in the realm of like film critics. So I only follow the space of people.
Also, I think people are used to like epic battles, like in one part of the film. And I feel like this is a spy film. So you're literally going to have like explosions and nonsense half the movie, which is what I'm excited about, because that's a recipe. Like, you know, Die Hard 1, 2, and 3 are the best movies of all time for a reason. You know what I mean? Because shit's just blowing up the entire time.
Yeah, a lot of them are saying that a lot of the stunt work looks very real. You know, like it could actually happen, and it looks like it hurts. That's a lot of the other stuff I saw too, which is cool. I'm like, I think the big surprises are probably going to be the Taskmaster reveal.
Oh, like who is Taskmaster?
Yeah, that's going to be the big reveal. Oh, the end credit scene could be. It could be Taskmaster meeting up with Val and US Agent.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts.
Yeah, Thunderbolts, or it could be, maybe that's what the end credit scene is like the reveal of who Taskmaster is. And, you know, maybe I am right all along and they never defeated Hydra. Who knows? You know, like, obviously. I
think it could be something different than Hydra.
But I mean, either way, they've done a really good job of, with the post-credit scenes, of either introducing someone new or like giving you that nod. Dude, the way they used Zemo years after the fact in Falcon Winter Soldier, whatever they do, you know it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's usually like a lead into something, but that's the tricky thing, is like, will it lead into Shang-Chi? Or because that will be the next thing other than What If, and I don't think it would lead into What If. That would be weird.
No, I don't think it will either.
So it might lead into Shang-Chi. At least one of them might lead into it. Or it leads into like Hawkeye or something.
I'm just going to assume it leads into to fucking Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because I mean, Hawkeye's before Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but are they? But think about it. Are they actually going to use the movie Easter eggs to reference the shows? Now I know that we've said it counts. They've already announced it, but I don't know. I'll believe that when I see it, Sean.
These series are massive. They're huge.
I'm not disagreeing.
They're not even series. Like, it's obvious that the movie event. I mean, dude, what happens in this episode?
Yes,
created. We'll get into that. It's like, is creating one of the movies.
Yes. Like, no, you're right. You're right.
You know, like, there's no way that the series will not be. It's not. This isn't Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This isn't Daredevil. You know, this is MCU series. Like, Feige's even gone on to say, yes, you can watch the movies without watching the series, but there's definitely things you will not appreciate as much without watching them. You know, it's like if you never watched Falcon and Winter Soldier and then Sam shows up as Cap, people are going to be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Side note for those of you watching, when we reference Daredevil, we mean the Netflix one, not the terrible other one. Just want to point that out there.
I hope no one would think it was the Ben Affleck movie. That would be oof. Oof. All right. So, I said I want to skip the non-spoiler thoughts because this episode is fucking bonkers, but you said you had a non-spoiler thought.
A non-spoiler thought about this. If you are on the fence about watching the Loki show, out of the last two properties we have gotten, nothing has made me more mad at the end of an episode that we have to wait a week. Like nothing except for one episode of The Mandalorian. Yeah. Except for one episode of The Mandalorian, nothing has made me like, man, fuck you guys. Why do you make us get one a week? Like, I've never been like, I was able to sit through the Mando doing that. I was able to sit through, you know, Winter Soldier. I was able to sit through WandaVision, you know? WandaVision, it was like a little hard because I was just so goddamn confused all the time. But like, I'm glad I got to watch that once a week. This episode, the way they like, it wasn't even a cliffhanger per se. It was like just excitement. Like it superseded that. Like, it's just like, if you understand what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the way that episode ends is just like, it's beyond a cliffhanger. It's the prime cliffhanger. I don't know what term we want to use.
It's the sacred cliffhanger.
The sacred cliffhanger. Yes, there we go. I like that, Sean.
Marvel, you can call me for that one. The sacred cliffhanger.
Yeah, Feige, my boy said it first, okay?
Yeah. So give me some royalties or something. Yeah, let me cameo. Let me cameo in a movie.
Let me know if I need to tweet him for you, dude.
Yeah, please. Please do. What? Please. Please
do. Oh, my Christmas lights aren't on. Hold on. Alexa, turn on the desk lights. Gotta set the mood, Sean, okay? Now I'm joyous and happy. Look at me.
Are they on? I can't even tell.
Yes, they're on now.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you know they're on, that's all that matters.
God damn it.
Well, this is a spoiler warning for episode 2, The Variants. We're about to break everything down, go in deep dive into this episode. So, lastly, going to say spoiler warning. Okay, so episode 2 picks up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. In 1985 at a Renaissance fair, Hunter C-20 goes to investigate. It's where they saw variant activity, so they're going to investigate it. And they go into the tent. They're the song, what is it, like, Wait, Holding Out for a Hero, which has been in like three pieces of other pop culture. It was in the Masters of the Universe trailer.
Yes, yes. Which I thought was hilarious.
Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
For the game. You're right. It wasn't that.
Now it's in here. Yeah, so it was like three. It is funny because Kevin Smith brought that up too, and he's like, I have it on good authority that it's in a Marvel property coming out soon. I didn't think it would be this week, but here we are. Maybe he didn't even know it was this week either, but
I doubt that. He is Kevin Smith. He's kind of like
famous,
you know.
Pretty big deal.
You know the whole phrase, like, gods walk among us, you know, like, he's the nerd god that walks among us, you know. That's, like,
yeah, agreed. Yes, you're right. So Loki enchants Hunter C-20, very Scarlet Witch like, but the Scarlet Witch thing, it's different because she can actually control them. It's not like an illusion in her brain, like what Scarlet Witch does. Scarlet Witch, you know, puts these visions in her head. They're usually nightmare sequences or nightmare premonitions, as what happened to Tony Stark. A lot of that stuff did come true of what Tony saw, not all of it. I'm kind of bearing the lead here, but this variant Loki and the now mind controlled Hunter C-20 take out all the rest of the Minutemen, and then she steals the little TVA time deck. There's a name for it, but I forgot what the name is. I'm usually very good with that, but I think it's something like time deck or something like that. But she opens a portal and takes a hostage, takes Hunter C-20 with her, and then we get up to the Marvel screen. So do you have any thoughts about this opening sequence at the Ren Faire?
First off, yeah, maybe want to go to the Ren Faire. Like, I'll say that much. Like, I don't know how far down the nerdy rabbit hole all of your listeners go, but Ren Faires are fun. If you can handle it, and if you're not going to dress up, be ready to be chastised. But they're fun. They're very fun. I thought that the scene was interesting. I think that's the first scene where I've really been like watching the movements. You're like, that's not Loki, like, not Tom Hiddleston. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I enjoyed that. As we talked about in our text messages, the enchanting magic she used, I don't know, man, I got a way bigger, like, Hela vibe off of it than I did a Loki vibe. That's my thought process. It was like,
yeah, she never mind controlled people though.
Yeah, but she's also obviously more powerful than Loki. Yeah. I would argue she's more powerful than Thor as well. You know what I mean? Then again, she was powered by that unending flame thing or whatever. I forget what it was called. Do you remember what it was called in Ragnarok?
Oh no, that was Surtur. She was powered by, like, her powers grew the more she was in Asgard. Like, she has powers elsewhere, but her powers amplified by Asgard.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. So
Surtur is once he was lit by the eternal flame, all that shit.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
The eternal flame helped. Yeah, it helped power some of her.
Yeah, So, you know, she's definitely more powerful than Loki. I mean, she broke the hammer on her own. You know what I mean? But that alone really explains how powerful she is. But, you know, The magic just gave me a different sort of vibe. Like, it definitely gave me more of a Doctor Strange-y vibe than a Loki vibe. Probably because we've never really seen Loki do the whole enchanting thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I thought it was a very interesting episode.
We saw way more of his magic than we ever have.
Which was, yeah. that was my highlight for the episode. Yeah. That was my highlight for the episode. But yes, who's texting me?
Okay. Right after that, we pick up right into the TVA. Loki is hitting in his TVA training with Miss Minutes. He asks her an interesting question: if she's alive or recording. And she says, "Sort of both." So which is like, what is Miss Minutes? What is it?
I'm glad you brought it up, because I think the reason she says sort of both is she technically, you know, if we're keeping up with the facade, the timekeepers are good guys. She's made by them, so technically she already knows what Loki's going to do before he tries to do it.
Well, so that's the tricky part, because they only control the sacred timeline, and where they are is outside of that. You know what I mean? Like, the TVA is like, it's null of time and space, so they don't even control that. They control what happens in the sacred timeline. That's where it gets confusing.
Yeah,
Miss Minutes is obviously a creation of the timekeepers in some way, shape, or form, but it's kind of said that everything is, which we kind of talked about that last episode, that we don't really know if that's true or not. You know, it's been said that like everyone that works at the TVA was a creation of the timekeepers. Like, you know, their gods are the timekeepers, and
yes,
they're created. Like, but it could be funny if they were like pulled from time or something, and then made to think that they were.
That's what I think is going on. That's why I said, remember last episode, I said Casey gives me the same vibes as the Indian dude that Vision awakens in WandaVision in The Office. Remember? I got the same vibes from that scene. You know what I mean? So let's just remember that.
Yeah. I wouldn't stake too much into it. Like, if it doesn't get revealed, it's like a big deal. Like, but who knows? I have, after the end of this episode, I have no idea where this series is going.
Listen, Sean. Remember what we talked about? I got some high stake, all right, in Metalcore Nerds. So I'm going to be right about something on this show, too. Don't you worry about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our Kang theory is still hanging true. I'm hanging on to that one hard.
Yeah. If you guys don't know what I'm giving Sean crap about right now, we have a Metalcore Nerds Facebook group. For those of you that follow the show that might not be like super friends with all of us on the interwebs, there's a Metalcore Nerds Facebook group that you can be added to. And one of the hot debates during WandaVision was, is the aerospace engineer Reed Richards? And it was just a lady that brought that vehicle over. And I said, that's it. That was the reveal. And everyone told me I was crazy and that I was wrong. And I ended up being right. Just like, I'll be right about something during Loki, too.
Until the Marvels, when it's revealed the engineer was Blue Marvel. And then you'll be wrong. You'll be retconned. Well,
You know what? Retcon me then, baby.
So, and then Loki is trying to swat Miss Minutes away with a jet ski magazine, which will come into play a little later in LA. Loki gets his variant jacket, which you can buy at Hot Topic. Sick plug for Sam. And Mobius reveals that they have pruned many Lokis over time, which all of them have different power sets depending on the Loki, which I loved seeing all these different variations.
I loved the yoked one.
Yeah.
The yoked Loki was like my favorite one.
There was a biker that won the Tour de France. Like,
oh yeah.
Insanity. One with a beard that had like real horns and shit. And then we go back to Wisconsin, 1985. They're trying to, you know, do some detective work and trying to find out where the variant could be. And Loki tries to play mind games on Mobius. It does not work at all. He like listens to him like he's about to fall, and he's like, well, yep, he's playing games, reset the timeline, which this was cool to see the reset charge happen. You know, it like disintegrating everything as it goes along. I thought that was really cool to see. Mm-hmm. And they head back after the timeline is reset. They head back to the TVA. And Mobius meets with Renslayer, which is an interesting transaction interaction because
go ahead. I was gonna say, before we get to that, I did notice the thing I really liked about that scene I mean, dude, Tom Hiddleston, he sold me. I was shipping what Loki was saying. You know what I mean? So it is nice to see someone just be like, because even Tony, who's technically like the smartest Avenger, he might have been able to outwit Loki, but he wasn't always around. Like, they didn't interact a lot, the two of them. So you didn't have like the battle of the wits. You know what I mean? So it was nice to see this Mobius be like, you're lying. Like, I'm calling bullshit. Like, it was nice for that just to like come out of nowhere. Like, nope, reset everything. He's lying. Yeah. Like Loki got beat at his own game. And so I loved seeing that.
Yep.
Continue. Was it Renslayer?
Yes, a Ravana Renslayer and Mobius talking. But as they go into Renslayer's office, it focuses on the middle timekeeper, which is the one that we've been saying looks like Jonathan Majors. They focus on this timekeeper specifically a lot, even in the end credits scene. Like, the last shot is of this timekeeper.
Yes.
It's very, like, something is happening with this, and our Kang theory could be very well upheld, for sure. He reveals that Mobius has never met with the timekeepers.
That was a very interesting reveal to me when that happened. Yes, because remember we talked about last episode, part of one of my theories is that Loki saves Mobius throughout all this. You know what I mean? That Mobius is, they are evil, but specifically, like, he's a fucking pawn, you know? Like, he's being used, and I think that there's going to be an earnest friendship there. And yep, Loki's going to save Mobius.
Yep, I agree with that. Renslayer says he shouldn't trust Loki, and the timekeepers are looking over this case very closely. But she convinces him, like, hey, give me one more chance, blah, blah, blah. She gives it to him. And, you know, it's like, hey, it's going to be our last chance. And he said, even if I have to, I will delete him. He's arrogant, which I thought was funny. And then, you know, Loki's kind of begging for mercy with Mobius as they're walking down the corridors and saying, like, hey, you know, I was trying to, you know, get in the head of Loki, figure out how to beat a Loki. I love the dynamic between these two. It's so great. So great.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, the first episode was really like getting structured, but like this episode, you got to see, like, if you want Owen Wilson, you got Owen Wilson in this episode. That's all I have to say. Like,
I feel like this is a different Owen Wilson we've seen, because he is Owen Wilson, but it's such like a commanding way. You know, he's like, he's sincere, but he's saying like not mean things, but like very real things to Loki.
Well, one of the things I've always loved about his humor is like, he's good with facial expressions, but he's also like, it's very hard to be funny and nonchalant in a non-douchebag way.
Yeah.
And he's not a douchebag. He's just nonchalantly funny. Like, point of fact, like, and I'm like, I love it, dude. I can't imagine someone else being Mobius now. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, who could they have pulled up to do this role? Because it is important that you have, I think they did it right. I think it's very important you have a star opposite Tom Hiddleston. Because you need someone that shines on their own. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think they did perfect, literally, with Owen.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love him in this role. I love his interactions with Tom Hiddleston. It's very, very awesome. So Mobius tasks Loki with studying the Loki files to maybe find something that they have missed to help find this variant. As they're going through the kind of like floors of everything, there is a floor number 372, which could be a reference to Thor 372, which is the first appearance of the timekeepers. But then as Loki's studying, he's like super fucking bored. He goes to like this other desk clerk and tries to get files on the timekeepers, on the beginning of the TVA, on the end of time, and they're all denied, of course, because they're classified. I'm sure Mobius can't even get these files, but it adds more to the TVA is not as it seems, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely not as it seems. But as Loki is still studying, he finds the file on Ragnarok, which we kind of were just talking about, but in Ragnarok, Asgard gets totally fucking blown to bits by Surtur. And it was almost like a sad moment, because he like sees like how many civilians died. It's just like complete annihilation or something like that. And I do want to say that on the file name, it says Codename Revengers, which is the nickname that Thor gave the group of him, Loki, Valkyrie, and Hulk. Like, yeah, you know, we're the Revengers. We're all getting revenge. You're getting revenge. I'm getting revenge. Hey, Hulk, do you want to get some revenge? And he's like, I can take it or leave it, because it was Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, of course.
not him as Hulk. And I love that they had that on the file. And then he realizes that the variant must be hiding in apocalyptic events, because this is his theory. I love that, you know, theories are formed within these shows. Very meta. And then his theory is that you can go to these apocalyptic events and do whatever you want, because it all gets wiped out anyway. It's almost like a natural pruning.
Yeah.
And so he brings this to Mobius and he wants to test it out. So before we go to this next part, do you have any thoughts on Loki, the researcher Loki?
I mean, I loved it. Like, I loved that he got bored. I love that we're still seeing this, like, this is beneath me, but I'm intrigued and I care. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, so it's like, you know, I said on our pre-show episode about this, that the thing I was the most excited for was getting to see Loki's redemption arc again in another way. And so, like, right, watching him be like, I need to speak to the timekeepers. Like, I'm still a god. Like, oh, this is why I'm a god. Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, then it's back to like his bullshit. And then, but then he's like, still piqued interest. He's still like, you can tell he wants to be a friend with Owen Wilson. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell that he likes him, you know? And yeah, so it's like tight. Like, you know, I loved it. I loved the challenge of the brain. I love how he like realized what was going on, like the way he kind of like explained it and puts it all together. And then the story with the fucking salad, just like,
oh yeah,
that was just this was Tom Hiddleston being like, I'm a nut job. So let me just do a nut job scene here. And like, yeah, I mean, maybe that salad scene was already written, but I'm assuming that was something Tom Hiddleston definitely made it his own. You know what I mean? Like, nobody else could have done that like that.
That's the thing I've been thinking about, because I started, Rick and Morty starts this weekend. So I rewatched the last like couple seasons, which the writer of Loki and Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is a writer or producer on Rick and Morty.
Yes.
And they have a lot of the same DNA in ways, like the kind of humor and the whole multiversal time travel nature. They can definitely see why they hired this fucking guy. But that kind of scene is like, I could see that happen in Rick and Morty. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Explaining something like that. Like, I could definitely see that 100%. But yeah, I love that salad scene. I posted one meme that said Asgard, the whole Heimdall thing is saying,
oh, like, yeah,
Asgard,
yeah,
isn't a place. And this, it's a people, but it said it's a salad. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. And then I posted on the Metal Corner Nerds Twitter, Loki episode 2 spoilers without context. And it was like a salad, a dude riding a jet ski, a mountain
volcano exploding,
volcano erupting, and then the Spider-Man meme, which I think summed up. Yeah. I think it summed up episode 2 pretty well. But yes, I love the salad thing. It was ridiculous. We saw Casey in there for a second.
Yeah, I loved that. I loved, I don't think I'm jumping ahead, the fucking part where I texted you about it when they're talking, and it's like they're having the whole conversation afterwards. I'm like, why do you do this? Like, you know, Loki's questioning Loki.
Oh, that's a little bit ahead. It's
after, okay. Okay. Well, then never mind. Yeah,
we'll get to that. So we end up in 79 AD in Pompeii, Italy, at Mount Vesuvius, and Loki's wanting to test out his apocalypse theory. So he lets out some goats, which he says, "Be free, my horned friends," which is funny because of the horns, Loki.
Yeah, yeah.
And he declares he's from the future, mostly in Latin, hilarious, you know, saying like, "Hey, you're all gonna die," blah blah blah. And then Mobius sees that there's no variance energy, no branch timelines, nothing. So Loki was right. His theory was correct. Morbius has to go get this approved by Renslayer, which he does. She is reluctant once again, but, you know, he's saying, this is my last shot with him. Like, this is like, I feel like we're on the precipice of getting this variant. Like, let's go. Let's do this. She says, okay. And then Morbius and Loki need to find out which event to go to. As they're talking about this, they talk about what you're just about to talk about. They had this like whole conversation about belief and how the TVA is very similar to Asgard. You know, you got the space time lizards, you got the gods, you know, it's when you boil it down, they're kind of the same shit. You know what I mean? They talk about Owen Wilson's Mobius's love for jet skis. And if this series does not have a scene with Mobius riding a jet ski, I'm going to be mad. I need it.
That was total foreshadowing for like, I think what's going to happen is Loki's going to get back. You know, I think at some point in time, you know, he's going to get back to Mobius about that conversation. Like, whether it's like he's in the future, he's later in the series trying to convince him, like, bro, it's okay to break the rules a little bit. And like, he takes him back to the 90s and lets him drive it. You know what I mean? Like, it'll come into play, whether it's in a funny or an ironic way, it'll get brought up. I could see it being like more of an irony thing, but I still think it'll happen, like, for sure.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Was there more you wanted to add about this conversation they had?
Yeah, I mean, we've all been posting all those memes where it's like Leonardo yelling at the TV and pointing, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
And when Owen Wilson goes, yeah, you know, like, what is life without a little bit of chaos? Or Loki says that. No, Owen says it. I think Mobius says it. One of them makes that.
Loki says it because he says, I wanted to get into the specific line because it kind of adds to my multiverse time travel theory thing. He brings up that, you know, the TVA protects the past of what's already happened. Mm-hmm. And the timekeepers are writing the epilogue of infinite timelines. Infinite timelines. I'm just going to say, multiverse is already here, motherfuckers. What happens in the rest of this episode just makes things go crazy. So my whole thing is that I feel like the TVA is controlling one multiverse. And their sacred timeline is just the multiverse we've seen the MCU. They control Earth 099999, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. Earth. Didn't we agree to call it Earth Prime?
No, because that's DC. They call that Earth Prime.
Oh, the Nexus Earth. That's what we were gonna do.
No. It's Earth. It's Earth 0 or 19999. That's what.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna get the CW verse confused, bro.
I'm still calling it the Prime timeline. I don't care about that.
We can call it the Prime. We can do that.
Okay.
It's funny. Another podcast brought that up. And I was like, huh, weird. They said Prime timeline. And I was like, weird. We said that. Crazy.
Well, I'm smarter
than
the average cupcake. So, oh, damn.
I watched that today and I was like, I mean, we said that like 3 weeks ago. What the fuck? But yes, the whole point of the timekeepers is to create order and no Nexus events so they can meet at peace at the end of time. That's the whole goal. And then Loki said, he's like, well, life without chaos is boring, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there's also another line in there, but they say chaos, like one, like they each say the word chaos just in different ways. But yes, the fact that when Loki said life without chaos is boring, I was like, I like totally sat up and did the Leonardo DiCaprio pose, like just pointing and yelling at the TV. And my girlfriend was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I was like, nothing.
Yeah, that was me when I'm like, oh, interesting. And Sam's like, what? And I'm like, oh, damn right. And I was like, I'll bore you with my fucking me going into a thesis about time travel for an hour.
But well, it also brings up, like, I mean, it's not just a time travel thing. Him saying chaos and implying, and he's already a magic user. Like, I'm thinking that Loki knows what Scarlet Witch is. I'm thinking that, like, the knowledge of being the chaos mage or whatever they called her. We'll get to this, but I think it has more implications than just her being a girl from Earth and having chaos magic. Like, I think other people in the galaxy or universe know what chaos magic is. They just everyone just thinks it's a myth, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's, she's the Scarlet Witch that wields chaos magic and can make create reality. That was like, that's what came from the Darkhold.
Yeah.
And I talked to my friend about this a few days ago about how I really think they're kind of doing the Dark Phoenix saga with Scarlet Witch instead of Jean Grey to kind of to go like, hey, Fox, remember when you tried this twice and failed miserably. Well, we're going to do it the right way, how it should be done, over years of properties. And I don't think it's going to be the same exact thing. I just think the general premise of Scarlet Witch becomes too fucking consumed with power. And the whole thing of even what it's prophesied in the Darkhold, that she is going to destroy the universe. Like, that is Dark Phoenix. Like, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think they are doing a version of that with Wanda. Like, I really do think we're going to see her kind of take a more villainous role. Not like, it's more like understanding villain, because like, even what she did in WandaVision, like, that's, she tormented a whole town for weeks. Like, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like what a good person would do. It's, she had good intentions. She didn't mean to do it, but she still did it. It's going to be more of, she'll end up doing bad things by doing stuff that she, to accomplish what she wants. It's like, she's going to do whatever she needs to accomplish what she wants, no matter what it does to people.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be intentionally hurting people. It's like, that'll be the blowback of it. So she'll be villain, but she's not like a diabolical mustache twirling villain. She's more of like, she does bad things, but that's not her sole intention. That's what I think will happen. But I'm here for that shit.
Same. We'll see.
Right. So Mobius remembers that this variant gave a kid the Kablooey gum from episode one. And I love the line that's like, do you have candy in Asgard? And she's like, oh, we have grapes and nuts. And he's like, oh, that's why you're so bitter.
I thought that was really funny. That made me, I literally went up and got cookies after he said that line.
Amazing. Incredible.
I had to. It inspired me.
And then they narrow down, because Kablooey gum in the future was only made in from 2047 to 2051. So they needed to narrow down the apocalyptic events in that time frame. So they start listing off a bunch of apocalyptic events in that time frame, which are in the not so distant future, that sound very possible, which terrified me, because I'm like, fuck, we're fucked. But they narrow it down to a category 8, which, for anyone that doesn't know hurricanes, I'm sure anyone in Florida is listening definitely does, but we only measure up to a category 5 right now. So put that in perspective. And it's a category 8 hurricane in Haven Hills, Alabama in 2050 at a Rocks cart. So Roxxon is a corporation that we've seen in the MCU's past. It is linked with some evil, villainous people. If you watch Cloak and Dagger, they were kind of the main villain in that.
Great show, by the way, if you guys haven't checked that out.
It was a really cool show.
I'm really bummed they can't. I'm really bummed we didn't get the third season, Sean.
It is what it is. Did we even get a second season?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Okay, yeah. Then we got the little cameo of the Runaways in season 3. That's what it was.
There was no season 3.
No, I was saying we got the season 3 of Runaways.
Oh, I didn't watch that yet.
They were in season 3 of Runaways.
I haven't watched Runaways yet. I need to watch that because it's on Hulu.
It's cool. I liked it.
It's better than New Mutants, isn't it?
I mean, dude, I could make a Marvel movie in my backyard and it'd be better than New Mutants. No offense, but maybe not that bad. But New Mutants it's just a movie that didn't need to happen. I think that's more. It's not really bad. It's just like, yeah. Movies and superhero movies in general have been so much better. That movie should have been better.
I agree.
It didn't suck. I will never watch it again because I have no need. There were some cool moments and everything like that, but it just should have been so much better, especially from the guy who made fucking Fault in Our Stars. Like, that movie is incredible and heart-wrenching. And then he makes that. I'm like, come on. Like, but besides that point, Runaways is awesome. They have a lot of MCU references, but I'm sure it'll never be referenced by the MCU. The Darkhold's in season 3, which is the same arc Darkhold from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which makes everything even more confusing because, you know, we just pretend that those don't exist in the MCU, but whatever. Maybe we'll see more of that. Who knows? But basically assuming that Roxxcart expands and makes a fucking Costco-like warehouse grocery store.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what this Roxxcart seems like. So they, rally up the troops, get everyone together. Loki almost gets his daggers back, but Hunter B-15 snatches them away.
I got so excited, and then she was like, nope. And I was like, damn. Like, because I'm just ready for some, like, I'm just ready for Loki to just get bucked, dude. Like,
the thing that's funny is, like, couldn't he just make new ones?
I think it goes back to, so remember how he has his, I think, remember how he has his speech? Well, remember how he has his speech about there's a difference between an illusion and this?
He, like, cloaks it.
Well, no, so he could make illusions, but he couldn't do the other one, I think is what I think, because remember when they're like, oh, he can make illusions of himself.
He can do both. He was just explaining the difference between them. Well, he can't do mind control shit like the variant can.
Well, no, but remember when they were saying like the difference between variant and like an illusion or whatever, and then Loki corrects the team.
Yeah, but Loki can do both of those because him, like what he does with Captain America and what he did with Odin about how he put an illusion over himself, or what he did with Thor faking his severed arm, that's one thing. And then him projecting himself is another thing, which he's done both of. Okay. It's just like a weird, it's like he can, so I that's what I was thinking, it's like he did with the Tesseract, is that like he doesn't actually make the knives, he just has the knives and hides them.
Yes, yeah, but he. My point, what I was saying is because the knives are still in the locker, he can only do the one where it's the fake ones. Like, he projects them, but he doesn't.
That was my thing. Is like, does he create them? You know, kind of like Hela did, or were they always tangible things? But he cloaked them.
Yeah, I think he just cloaked them, or they floated in the air behind him because he's a sorcerer. Like, who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows? You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, that would make sense. That would add to the logic.
I'm sure there's some like badass logical explanation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I guess we can kind of say that he probably can't create them. He just cloaked them with his.
I just can't wait till he gets the daggers back and he saves what's her face. 15.
Oh, it'll happen. Yeah,
and Hunter B15, and she's gonna be like, you can't. You know, she's just gonna be this raging butthead to Loki, and then like Loki's just gonna murder 5 people just protecting her, not even the rest of the TVA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'll be good to see.
Yeah,
I like that. So as soon as they get into Rock's car, Loki drives himself off with magic, which was awesome. And then Hunter B15 says Loki needs to come with her instead of going with Mobius to watch over him, you know, because they obviously do not trust him. The variant Loki just keeps enchanting motherfuckers, which leads to B15 being enchanted. And as that's happening, Mobius finds Hunter C20. She is fucking Looney Tunes shivering in a fucking corner. Loki fights the enchanted versions of Loki, or the enchanted version of people that Loki is controlling, which is pretty entertaining. It goes from Hunter B15 to this guy who works at Rockstar to this fucking huge redneck guy.
That was funny.
Which I do love when he's funny, the redneck. I didn't know he had these powers, but he has telekinesis because he moves the Roomba with his mind.
Yeah, he summons the Roomba too. Yeah, which is tight.
Which is cool. I was like, wow, I didn't know he could fucking move shit with his mind. That's tight. And as this is happening, they go back to Mobius and C20, and C20 reveals that she gave up where to find the timekeepers. Which is crazy. Why would she know? Why would a hunter know of her Mobius? But
I think it's more of how to bomb the timeline and wait. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's more.
I don't think so. I think I'll get into why later.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it is something different, like where the timekeepers are play a part in the variant's plan with all of this. As Loki is fighting, Loki kind of gets beat the fuck up by the redneck guy that's mind controlled by Loki, and then Lady Loki reveals herself, and there's an interesting moment as she's revealing herself, is you can hear Tom Hiddleston's voice echoing. It kind of makes it seem like she's telepathic and she's reading Loki's mind. And then she answers, this isn't about you. Like, she's reading his mind. Cause he doesn't really say that out loud, or at least we don't see it. But the fact that it's like echoing and kind of repeating, it makes it seem like it's his thoughts, which is cool. Like, another new power that she has that he doesn't. And but before that, I kind of got ahead of myself. Loki is trying to you know, barter with the variant to say, like, hey, let's work together and overthrow the TVA. Let's rule it ourselves. And the variant is not interested in that, and then reveals herself. And then it's shown that she stole all these reset charges to go in little time portals and bomb the fucking timeline. Because holy fuck.
Yeah.
As we see this happening, we see a bunch of planets listed, which I'm going to list a bunch of important ones. But I believe this is creating the Multiverse of Madness that the TVA warned us about in episode one. Like, I think this is it. I don't think they're going to be able to go and fix all these. Maybe some of them, but this is going to be crazy to fix, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of adds to what I was saying before, is that this, their sacred timeline is getting fucked up. And this could lead to, like, the other universes bleeding into this one from these branch timelines. They that could be kind of how Spider-Man No More Home works in, how obviously Multiverse of Madness works in. This is all going to, I firmly believe that this is all going to lead into this. I don't think they're going to be able to redo all of this shit. You know what I mean? It's like, because she's using their own technology to just wreak fucking havoc throughout insane times and places in the multiverse. Before I get into all these planets, thoughts on this whole fucking scene, because this whole Rockstar scene was pretty wild.
The initial thing I want to bring up is that I read an article, I think it was comicbook.com, that basically alludes that Loki only wears the crown, like his horns. He only wears that when he truly feels powerful or unstoppable. So I think this whole time, him thinking he's the superior, and then not only does he see Loki, she's presumably stronger than him and is wearing the crown and is a female. So, like, it's like all these things at once. But I read that article, and I thought that was an interesting note, that Loki only wears that the crown, the horns supposedly when they feel powerful. And so she's in there saying it's not about you, this, that, the other thing. Like, obviously seems to kind of, do you get the vibe from Lady Loki that she knows what's going on, or is she just trying to prevent something? Because I'm still under the assumption that whatever time frame she comes from, something got destroyed, and that's why she's doing this.
I feel like she kind of figured out what the TVA is, like, really about, and she's trying to fuck it up. Because as I go through this list, it definitely seems like they were done on purpose. Not just because of where they are, but they're all, I didn't write down all the times and everything, but they're all different places in time at different places that are all pretty big fucking deals. And there's a bunch of, like, places on Earth, but if I go through this list, nowhere is listed, which was a Celestial's Head, which the Collector's Vault was, Niflheim, where Hela was said to be banished, Vormir, where the Soul Stone is, Asgard, Sakaar, which is the trash planet we see in Ragnarok, Ego, Star-Lord's fucking celestial dad, Titan, Thanos' home planet, Hela, which is the Kree homeworld, Xandar, which is the home of the Nova Corp that we saw in Guardians 1, and then Jotunheim, which is the land of the Frost Giants. So, like, that's...
Yeah, it's a pretty important list. Pretty crazy. I definitely want to know... Oh, go ahead.
The TV even made it seem like they were just kind of overseeing the Earth, but it's definitely the whole universe, you know? Like,
it's the prime timeline, dude. All those places. And, you know, I think this is going to come back to, you know, something we haven't had explained since Thor 1 is, like, the way the fucking Bifrost worked and how the universe is, like, a tree, like, one big tree all connected through stuff. I think more of that is going to come backwards into play now that we get double Lokis. So the way it all connects and has continuity versus how the sacred timekeepers look at things, like, I think it's all going to start piecing together in some way, shape, or form. I thought she was badass. I loved the look. We didn't get to see her whole, like, fit, you know, but I love that she was, like, she definitely was, like, the intellectual equal, if not superior, to him. Like, time he thought something, she was like, nope, you're wrong. Nope, nope. And she's, like, unfazed by his stuff, you know? And I think he sees the confidence in what she's doing, and he knows that it's important And like, if he sees another Loki doing it, there's a good reason in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. And I do love when they do more explanations, like you were talking about in Thor, like how they did in Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit when they talked about the Infinity Stones, and even in Infinity War when they talk about the Infinity Stones.
Yeah, and even Dr. how Shane, when they
talk about magic and
And in Guardians too, when they kind of explain Celestials a little more. Like they've always been good on like that aspect of the storytelling. So
I love to see that we're seeing it from this perspective of a place that doesn't really exist. You know, it exists to keep the plane of existence moving. You know, it's a very interesting concept. It's a very crazy concept to even think about.
Yeah.
But this episode ends with Lady Loki leaving through a time door, and Loki's looking at the time door, and Mobius and B-15 think that almost that the, you know, our Loki, or I guess our variant,
Loki Prime.
Kind of think he's at fault with, well, he's not Loki. Loki Prime is fucking dead.
Well, we talked about this. He could still be Loki Prime. He could still be Loki Prime.
Wouldn't be Loki Prime.
He could, but he could be reinserted from when he was taken, thus becoming Loki Prime. The TVA exists beyond time, Sean. We could be getting this whole thing could be Loki's pre-story to why he ended up becoming a good guy.
I don't want that. Like I said, I would kind of hate that, because then that would mean no more Loki. You know, like I think Loki's in this, like I think Tom Hiddleston's gonna be around for a very fucking long time.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah.
So but if he did that, he would die. Like if he went back into his prime timeline, he would live out his life as him dying.
By what we know now, but he could be pardoned. There's a thousand ways that these six episodes could break down. You know what I mean? With their repercussions, and you know, if we're talking about reality and time and the end of time and before time.
But this is getting into the weird technicalities of things, because this would be the same as Gamora. If Gamora entered in, that's still not prime Gamora. That's Gamora from 2014. This would be the same thing. This would be Loki from 2012 that pulled himself out of time, lived this life in the TVA, and then went back into the prime timeline. That's still not prime Loki. That's a new Loki.
Not necessarily. It could have been prime Loki, and we just didn't know that Loki knew all this.
Again, if we go back to the time travel rules, he never left in 2012. So he would need, like, it's the same thing with the Thanos thing. Like, if Loki left in 2012, never did any of the things after in Thor Ragnarok, in Thor the Dark World, in Infinity War, like, he can't leave that moment in time to go back to that moment in time. It's impossible.
Yeah, but we don't understand truly how the timekeepers and their authority works. Maybe they can reinsert him and it doesn't mess anything up. We don't know that.
But it would, though. It the rules they have set with time, like if they put him, it's the same thing with Gamora.
My point is they can bend the rules. So we only know the rules of the timeline according to them, but if they can manipulate it, then what rules apply to the actual timekeepers? Like I'm saying, like this could all just be bullshit. The rules that they explained, you know,
but I'm going off not even the rules that, because the timekeepers really haven't placed that many rules. But if I'm going off the rules already set up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in Endgame, it's Gamora, that's not the same Gamora, it is a Gamora in the prime timeline. But it would be the same thing if Loki got reinserted into what we call the prime timeline, it would not be the same Loki, it would be a different Loki, because again, Loki lived out a different life than the Prime Loki.
Prime Loki's dead, so this guy technically is Prime. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna get you.
Prime Loki number two.
He's Loki 2.0.
Yeah,
Loki 2.0.
Yes, Loki 2.0. I like that. Loki 2.0.
There we go. All right. Initially, I thought the fight scenes were good. I 100% agree with you. Him using magic to summon the Roomba, drive himself off, was tight. That was awesome. The cinematography all throughout the rocks art was fucking tight. Like, I love this, like, grungy. Oh, it's almost like a noir detective thriller going on around all this magic. And I kind of love that feeling, dude. Yeah. I'm loving the vibe.
It feels very tense, like, all the time.
Yeah.
In a way, like, there's obviously some tense moments in WandaVision, some tense moments. I mean, a lot of Falcon Winter Soldier was pretty tense too, but it's like a different kind of tense because it's kind of like universal stakes tense, which is obviously kind of a bigger deal than, you know, Captain America stuff, which is still a big deal, but it's, you know, different from, you know, a few people being affected to a fucking entire universe. It's like, you're like, as soon as the charges drop and you see the branches going, I was like, oh, fuck.
I read an interesting article that says maybe this isn't Lady Loki and maybe she's actually the Enchantress. And this is how they introduce like the bag magic users to the universe. And I was like, I get that argument, but I don't think it's correct. I think we are getting Lady Loki. I think they're doing it.
So here's where it gets a little tricky, because in the end credits, she is credited as Sylvie, which Sylvie was the name of Enchantress in the comics. But I do think we're just kind of getting a meld of the two, because Lady Loki in the comics, in the Ragnarok event in the comics, they like create pretty much like everyone's souls of Asgard were like floating around, and they created a new body for Lady Sif, and then Loki's soul embodied the new body that was supposed to be for Lady Sif, and that was Lady Loki. So it's not like a variant of Loki that made himself into a woman. It's just like his soul took over a woman's body. So it could be, because even I think she just might be like, oh, my name's Sylvie, and it's just kind of a nod to the comics. Like, I don't think it'll be Enchantress. Like, I do believe it actually is a variant of Loki.
Yeah, I do too.
But she probably doesn't want to. Because you even saw, like, she's like, oh, he said something about her being a Loki, and they responded like, don't call me that or whatever. Like, so maybe she created a new name for herself, and it just happens to be the same name as someone else in the comics, as just like a, because the MCU is so known for like weird comic nods.
I'm agreeing with that. And isn't there like, don't they do like Agatha and fucking Enchantress, like, isn't there like an evil magic team at some point in time in the comics as well that they all,
that I don't know.
Okay, I feel like there's something with like Enchantress teaming up with the other bad like cosmic people at some point in time.
It's weird because Agatha is portrayed as mostly good and we're introduced to her as bad in the MCU. I think there'll be a turnaround with that eventually, but that's a totally different story. I don't think it'll be Enchantress. I think it'll be kind of a meld between, because of course they're not doing the Lady Loki, or it could be, we saw that she has powers to enchant other bodies. It could be just a body that, you know, Loki liked and kept with it, you know? It's magic, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think it is worth pointing out that there's a scene where like Loki's fighting the redneck enchanted Loki. Uh-huh. And Lady Loki is still going around and placing and activating the charges. So she's so powerful, she can operate her own body and the enchanted body at the same time.
Yeah, it's like pawns.
Yeah, which I think is crazy. Unless we're kind of right and she is Lady Loki, but the Enchantress is also working with her, and that's who's actually doing the mind control stuff. You know, who knows? Like, who knows what they're trying to save or why, or why they're after the timekeepers or the timeline, or, you know.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's just like, I think we'll see that the real villain of this show isn't Lady Loki.
No,
I do want to see her reasoning, and I think we'll probably get some more of this in episode 3 as, you know, Loki follows her into the time door. Is, you know, why she's doing all this and everything.
Can I ask you? Did you think he was going to follow her into the time door?
As soon as it was open, I was like, he's fucking going.
See, I'm so duped by Tom Hiddleston that I fucking was like, oh no, dude, he's going to prove himself to Mobius and stay. And then he went through the door, and I was like, damn, I just struck out, dude.
I mean, you could easily go either way, because you could, that's very valid reasoning. You could see the look on his face, and I was like, he's going through that fucking door.
I think if it was just Mobius that ran up, he would have stayed. But I think the fact that Mobius had the other two with him, and they were definitely all pissy, you know, but Loki wants to figure out the mystery. I think he wants to prove that he, because I think the reason the first episode is called Glorious Purpose, I think he wants to prove that he is designed for more. And I think this might be his way of doing that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's definitely trying to find, like, a new purpose in life, a new, like, what the fuck is he going to do? That's why when something kind of, even when he, like, tries to be himself and, like, fuck around or trick Mobius, yeah. He, like, the scene after, he's like, oh, I bet you're wondering what happened there. Like, he knows, like, he's kind of on his, like, last chance. So he, like, can't really fuck it up or he's going to get disintegrated into fucking nothing.
I also love that, like, it's almost like, I noticed in this episode, Loki's having fun. Like, he's definitely liking.
Oh, yeah.
He's like not liking being population. A pawn. Yeah, he's not liking being a pawn, but he's having fun here.
Yeah.
So I think that's also going to factor into, like, maybe his change of heart. Who knows?
Possible. It's like, he's not, like, a bad guy in this. He's just kind of trying to get his way at the same time while, quote unquote, following the rules.
True.
You know, he's, like, not, but he is. It's like, you know, he's a smart guy, and he's a fucking god. And, you know, he has magic powers that he learned from, like, his mom and shit. So he has a lot to offer. He's just kind of trying to navigate of how he can get his angles in while still sort of helping, you know? Like, he obviously didn't figure out where they could find the variant. It's just once they got to that point, I don't even think he expected, because he even brings up, like, oh, you're going to blow us all up here? Like, you're gonna reset all of us here? Like, that was your big plan? And then she's like, nope, I'm ruining the multiverse.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because it happened on 616, which the Marvel Comics universe is Earth 616. And that's the day, the Multiverse of Madness started on 616.
That's crazy. I love all those little nods and shit. That's so tight.
Yeah. I don't know. And I mean, I guess they must have planned it, because they did change the date to June 9th, and that would make it line up on 616. Which is cool.
I love it.
Oh,
well, you wanted to hit about the different planets they went to, right? Or did you already kind of do that?
I already listed them off.
Some interesting stuff on there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why? The main one that confuses me is why Voromir. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, like, it has to be all done for a reason. You know what I mean? It could be like maybe Xandar had a power stone at the time they bombed that. Like, maybe because Vormir's there. Like, I don't know, dude.
I'm thinking that Loki is going to help Lady Loki, because maybe what happens is in the future, one of the Avengers, let's not say who, because I actually don't know, somebody revisits Vormir and all these places trying to fix the timeline, or someone's trying to go get Gamora or Scarlet Witch back because of something in the future, you know? So maybe Lady Loki's enemy is the Avengers, so Loki will help. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? Like, there's so many options of what's going on. Why are those destinations chosen? It could be something as simple as she's trying to stop Ragnarok, because every single event that was targeted had something to do with Ragnarok, like you said.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, they all have, yeah. Like, so who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens next week. I feel like I didn't think something like this was going to happen until the end of the series. So the fact that this happened on episode 2, it just makes me think the rest of this series is just going to be balls to the wall crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and now that they already know each other, like, I'm having all these, like, we've all seen the trailers. There's that fucking one scene where it's like he comes to fight President Loki and he has all his thugs. What if, like, Lady Loki has gotten other Lokis and other timelines, like, on her side, and she's running an army of Lokis, you know? Like, maybe. Now I have all these other thoughts in my head, like, what is going on from what we pieced together in the trailer and stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's definitely possible. It's very reminiscent of Battleworld, where there's an army of Thors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm very intrigued by, like you said, the elevator, same scene twice, kept showing the same symbols, you know, like the staff that was left in the field by the person, you know, in the first episode. Like, there's a lot of imagery and symbols, and I think we're going to keep coming back to a lot of that, and I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where this shit is fucking going. This is by far my favorite series, and I love the other two. And the series has me thinking so much, even more than WandaVision did, which is a lot.
That's saying a lot.
Exactly. I agree, and my question with like the way I'm just curious how what the wording they're going to use to explain this timeline bombing is. Like, are they deleting things before they happen? Are they rewriting the paths of these items? Yeah. Like, no, I know you don't know either. So I'm excited to see. Like, so is she actually like she? I think you're right. Is she create? She does create the multiverse, or something similar to that.
She fucks up the timeline they're worried about. Because like I said, I think there already is a multiverse. Yeah. Just the wording they're saying and the whole going back to Doctor Strange and things like that. I just think they're paying attention to this timeline that they think they're ruling over. And that's all they really care about. So all these Nexus events that happen in their time, their universe, like that's what they care about.
Yeah.
Because I think that's how like No Way Home is going to come into play. Like the, you know, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man was another universe that bleeds into this one. Same with Andrew Garfield one, shit like that. Like, I think that's going to how, but this crazy multiverse of branches, like probably starts bleeding into the other universes. And that's where shit gets all fucked. Like that's, if I had to, you know, come up with a theory off what we've seen, I think that would be it.
I still like the theory of Spider-Man. The reason it's called No Way Home is he literally doesn't have a fucking way home. And the multiverses bleed into each other, and he goes to like Tobey Maguire's universe, and then he goes to Andrew Garfield's, you know what I mean? And he's trying to find his way home. And then like maybe they are gonna do it where like everything collapses on one. So all of a sudden all the villains are all on the same earth. You know what I mean? Who knows? Who fucking knows? It's gonna be so tight, dude. Like,
yeah. It's gonna be great.
I'm just hoping he stays Spider-Man for the foreseeable future. I know he only has one more movie on his contract, right?
I feel like they already. Well, I think they didn't announce it, but there's already been like talks that the MCU and Sony agreement has been extended, and I don't think there's any end in sight with that agreement. I feel like it's
going to
last until.
Well, I just meant Tom Holland being Spider-Man specifically. Like, I think he's perfect.
Oh, I do too. I think he's expressed that he wants to play it for a long time. So I think he's going to play it for a long time. I think
he'll do
whatever it takes to keep him in that role.
I think I'm loving like keeping him as Spidey, Chris as Thor, and freaking Paul Bettany as Vision. I think are all wonderful options. Like,
yeah, I don't think anyone's going anywhere for a long time. When everyone says like, oh yeah, I technically don't have a contract. Like, they're not going anywhere. It seems like they're all having the time of their lives playing these roles. They love being a part of the Marvel family. And I think until the story dictates where they will leave it for good, that's when they'll leave. Like, I don't think any of these people are going anywhere.
Well, one thing I'm excited about, and this is very off subject, is the way, like, if you look at the cinematography and like this just how the shows look, like all three of them, WandaVision, I think Armor Wars is going to be tight because like the fighting, the explosions, the different suits of armor, all of it. And like all while assuming Rhodey is chasing Tony Stark's legacy around the planet. You know what I mean? Like I'm here for it. Like all these shows, like that's the one I'm the most excited about. Other than Loki. I love War Machine. Like he's always my favorite in the video games. Oh, like
awesome.
Yeah. Like he's always my favorite auxiliary or like, I don't want to call him a sidekick, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'm very stoked for everything that's coming up. So let's wrap this one up for this week, and we will see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in. This has been another episode of Metalcore Nerds. We'll be back live next week with me, Joel Cupcake, as I co-host Sean Mott's show. Oh, wait, Sean Mott over here. You know what I mean? Sean Mott, Metalcore Mephisto. I am the Cupcake of Mischief. Joel Cupcake, you have watched another episode of Metalcore Nerds of us doing a spoiler review of Loki episode 2. Now we are going to return to our glorious purposes and see you next week. Same time, same place.
That's it.
Now it's your turn, Sean. Now it's your turn.
See you later, nerds.